Right. My name's Jim Rogerson. I'm 63 years old, nearly 64 in a couple of months. I left school at 16, started work for agricultural contractor for 13 months, worked on a farm 2 years. I went self-employed at 19. I've run my own business ever since. I've been a councillor now for both Longridge Town Council and Ribble Valley Borough Council since May 1995. I've done 26 and a half, coming up 27 years as a councillor. Through the business and everything else, I've had problems. Well, you come across problems on a daily basis, nothing extraordinary, but you have to use common sense to solve problems. You look at everything and think logically. That's generally how you solve most problems, and it seems to be the most efficient way. So that's a bit about me. You know, I do timber buildings, I've travelled the country with work. You know, there's not many places I couldn't get to and probably get home nearly without a map. You know, I can certainly get a long way very close to where I'm going. So I haven't really travelled the world, but I do think I have a good understanding of a lot of things.
Okay, well, for a lot of us southerners, I can remember seeing pictures of Ribble buses, but that's about it, really. Whereabouts is the Ribble and that area? Whereabouts have you been serving as a councillor?
I'm in Ribble Valley, which is, well, technically centre of the kingdom. Dunsett Bridge in Ribble Valley is supposedly centre of the United Kingdom. We are, well, most people will have heard of Blackpool or know of Blackpool. Longridge is normally 20 miles east of Blackpool. We are 5 miles from the M6, so the Blackpool Junction. Imagine where the M55 comes onto the M6, Longridge, we're 5 miles east of that. So, and then Longridge is the edge of Ribble Valley, and it goes further eastwards. It's on the west edge is Longridge.
So what sort of position did you get to in politics?
Well, I initially stood as a Conservative. In 1995, and I did 4 years, but I got so fed up of councillors from different parties trying to turn every argument political. They always wanted to make things political, and I stood for the council to represent everybody, you know, for the good of the people, not to argue politics all day. I could argue politics with anybody, but my role wasn't to me, it wasn't just there to argue politics. I just want to do good for the people of the area, use common sense, you know, stick up for what's right, and do what works for everybody. You know, I grew up in this area, 5 miles away, so I am, you know, a local to the area. I've been here virtually all my life.
But what about formal positions in the political system? How have you been getting on?
Well, as I said, I did 4 years as a Conservative. I got fed up of that, so I went independent. I was independent for 16 years. The Conservatives wanted me to stand there. I was humming around about standing again. And the Conservatives said, no, come back in. So I did rejoin the Conservative group, and I was a member. And last time I was re-elected as a Conservative back in 2019, I was re-elected as a Conservative. And then I was actually made Deputy Mayor then. I am now the longest serving councillor on Ribble Valley. I was made Deputy Mayor, and I did that, and I was enjoying the deputy, looking forward to being Mayor until COVID struck. From then on, I got more and more despondent all the way through. And this year, I actually stood down from taking over the role as mayor in April, you know, about the end of March, beginning of April. I stood down from that role because I could no longer see myself being able to go out, you know, go to meetings or talking to people or in groups and not be dragged into the political arguments over what's going on now, because I think it's a total sham.
But the trouble is, Jim, I think most people say what we really need is we need all sorts of different voices out there in the political arena, fighting for civil liberties, etc. But anyway, what is it about what's been going on with the COVID pandemic that you can learn from your previous experience in politics particularly and in business, in life in general? What do you think's really going on?
I don't know. I smelt a rat right at the beginning of the COVID thing. Something didn't ring true. There was too much things that were being said about different parts of the argument, things put forward to the public. There was no logic to it. You know, you couldn't put logic behind any of the comments, any of the statements being made from politicians. And the further it's gone on, the worse it is.
So was there any point at which you were puzzling away and then you suddenly realised, well, actually, it doesn't matter how long I puzzle away, this is never going to make sense. And you started to think differently about it.
Well, yeah, and I think the longer it's gone on, the day by day, whatever, certainly week by week, we keep seeing more different things that says there is something wrong about what's been going on. I honestly believe this is genocide on a global scale. It's being run there. It's not for the good of the people. It's a mass control of the population. And I do believe it's part of a depopulation agenda. The vaccination, they pushed this all the way through. Once we started vaccinating people last December, mid-December last year, when we started rolling out vaccinations, what happens? Deaths rocketed. And they were fairly high all the way through. As soon as we started the boosters in the middle of September, within 3 days, you saw the cases rising. The cases of COVID every day were rising. And then for a long while, the deaths started about 3 weeks behind the cases rising. You see the deaths start rising. I have a spreadsheet with the data, put in the data every day from sometime in March. I started in March 20 when they started saying about the deaths. I've got it done. It's on a big Excel spreadsheet and I've got the data, the cases, the deaths, the hospitalizations. I put it in there and I've got a 7-day trend and a 14-day trend. So I can watch it and I have watched it. And so the more that goes on, the more I see of it, and I just don't trust it. We were told that vaccines will be the be-all and end-all. Get everybody vaccinated and we'll be right. So everybody, there are a lot of people queued up to get the 2 doses. Now it's not enough. You need a booster. And they're blaming the unvaccinated for all the spread. Now we have seen, there was a clip of one of the ministers on one of the morning TV programmes, I think it was, where he slipped up and he said, we know the vaccinated people are spreading this and most likely to spread it. If the vaccine agenda worked and it was good as they say is, the vaccinated people shouldn't have to worry about the unvaccinated at all. They should not be a threat to them. If the vaccine agenda, as they keep telling us, is so good, there is no need to worry about unvaccinated people. They're mandating it on a vaccine that is an experimental vaccine, a vaccine that's never been tested on animals. It is completely thing. When they did mRNA vaccine tests on animals, the animals all died. So they've never tested this on animals, and now they're talking about making it mandatory, which goes against all the Nuremberg Code, the Geneva Convention, all these conventions on human rights. We talked about Hitler in the war was doing forced medical treatments on people against the will. That's why we ended up with the Nuremberg Code. And now governments, and it's not just our government, it's governments throughout the world, are trained to force a medical process on people against their will, trying to mandate it, an experimental medical process. Because it's purely an experimental vaccine.
Yeah, but hang on, Jim, because they're doing that for one simple reason, and that is to try and stop the spread of COVID.
They say they're doing that, but it would limit. If you had 80% of the population vaccinated and the vaccine works, what do they need to worry about? It would die out because there wouldn't be the recipients to pick it up. This is all being picked up. You know, ordinary people, vaccinated people are getting it and they're suffering for it. There's never any mention of side effects. The government will not allow a debate. We had the great Barrington declarations and they tried to shut it down. They will not debate scientists. There's scientists all over and they've been shut down by the media. They will not allow any debate. And if you can't have a debate, if they won't open a debate to cite somebody else put a different view there, that tells you there is something definitely wrong.
Well, Jim, we've got Christmas 2020 was basically cancelled. You know, there's the idea that families can meet up, chat about all this stuff, be with their loved ones, was cancelled. And obviously, elderly people in care homes desperately in need of contact with their families, they were told no, not allowed. And now we've got, it looked like we were going to get a good old Christmas 2021, back to normal again. And suddenly we have this thing called Omicron, which apparently, according to the South Africans, is very mild. No one has died of it. But we have this now instituted in England, Plan B, announcements in Scotland and Wales as well of even more restrictions on people's movements and forcing people to wear face masks. Contact tracing is back in force again.
Yeah, I've said all along we'd be under restrictions by Christmas. People have laughed at, no, it'll be fine. And I keep saying it will be under restrictions by Christmas. I think one thing to note, it'd be interesting to see what happens next week. Well, they've already said that things is going to tighten up from next week. We had a Grand Prix last weekend. I believe we've got the final Grand Prix this coming weekend. Well, how much money involved with big business, the big multinational corporations, sponsorship there? They need to let them people get back home, get all them people back home from the Grand Prix, and then the lockdowns will start. You can see, you know, I have so much things. I look at it and I can predict, you know, you can predict what's coming in a way. You don't know exactly, but you know there's something going to come.
And well, yeah, but that's surely the simple reason for that is that that this virus has mutated and it's managed to escape the power of the original vaccines. And therefore, we have to lock down again. This is a very clever and actually quite a nasty virus, which has killed tens of thousands of people. And this is, I suppose, the sort of thing that humanity's never had to face before.
It's a tragedy for the people that's died with it. And I have every sympathy for, you know, families who've lost loved ones to it. I don't want to belittle. I'm not trying to belittle the people that's died. It's a tragedy. But if you look at the people that, certainly in the early days, the people dying with it were generally always, initially, you know, all had other ailments as well. You know, we've had different, one of the
public. Yeah, either that or very elderly, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the average age of people dying with it, certainly before the vaccination, was above the average age of the lifespan. Now, I'm not trying to belittle anything because it is a tragedy for all the people that's died. I'd like to know now, because deaths now are running, the average deaths are now running way above average now. There's more people dying than what the averages are and has been for 2 or 3 months now. What's the average age of people dying today? That's suddenly disappeared. It's not being mentioned. And it'd be nice to know what the average age of people dying are. One of the things, this comes to mind, vaccine passports were being discussed in Europe over 2 years ago, before this ever started. You know, this lot was engineered. They're not prepared. They don't seem interested in going to find that where it came from, you know, it was a leak or whatever. The only thing we're worried about is injecting people. And that's politicians worldwide. You look at more, all the concentrate is getting a vaccine into people, an experimental vaccine into people. And it's not been working because the people have still been getting the virus. Mm. So it'll be very interesting to see how they go on with the boosters. And does it keep the numbers down?
So I wonder what you think the real agenda is and what people can do.
The real agenda, in my mind, is a complete depopulation, drastically reduce the population. There's been interviews that I've seen there. If by Boris, some of the interviews that Boris Johnson has done, one with some school children, where he said, maybe we need to start killing the people and feeding them to the animals to protect the planet. An interview with his father where he said, what happens if the population of this country was drastically reduced by 2025? And he said, that would be marvellous. There is a lot of ulterior motives going on somewhere behind this. And if we listen to the BBC all the time, you can't see it. It's when you have to use common sense to start and just question things. And once you get I've always had an inquisitive mind, I suppose. I always wanted to know how things worked. I've been mechanical and, you know, something broken down, I had to take it to bits and fix it because I needed to know why it was wrong.
And, yeah, so, you know, well, why don't you take this COVID apart? Well, you've already done that to a certain extent. What we all need to know, Jim, is how do we fix it?
I don't know, but I'm convinced, you know, all this, it's the multinational corporations worldwide are controlling the world. Even through the business, the companies we deal with that have been bought out by other players, there's a lot of names there, but there's very few people controlling businesses throughout the world. The multinationals totally control everything now, virtually. And I think a lot of this agenda, shut all the shops, destroy the small businesses, get rid of that, limit the choice for the public so they have to go. The public in general think it's marvellous. We can go to one big shop and get everything. But you don't realise how much control you've given to them, and whatever that shop wants to sell is what you're forced to buy then, once they've removed competition out of the market. There was something the other week when the climate change thing was on at Glasgow. I heard something, I think it was on the radio, where somebody said, oh, the food that you grow in your garden might not be as green as some of the ones you can get from the supermarket. Now, how can naturally healthy food that's been produced naturally for years, that the population have developed with for thousands of years, how can that not be normal? You know, we've evolved. I mean, there's so much with the food. I realised at the end, it took me for years being a farmer, I could never understand why red meat was being criticised all the time. They kept going on about red meat was bad, but chicken was good. Why, you're all right eating chicken. And I suddenly realised the major corporations, they control the seed that grows in the ground for the grain, all the fertilisers put on the grain to grow it, all the chemicals sprayed on the grain to grow it, the grain cooperatives, all subsidiaries of the multinational corporations, and which is most of the animal feed companies. So they get a farmer to put a building up, you know, to put a shed up for the chickens. These corporations, they put the chickens on the farm, they put the feed in the bin, they take them away and process them at the end. So they've got profit out of every stage of that production cycle. What have they got out of natural grass-fed meat, red meat? Nothing. So who's making the money? You know.
But what has this got to do with COVID?
But it's just the way the major corporations are trying to control everything. All the scientists the government using are all being paid or funded either by the pharmaceutical companies or same as the Gates Foundation, where they put money into these studies. They're the ones that's where all the money's going.
Well, there certainly does seem to be a revolving door, doesn't there, between the pharmaceutical industry and these regulators like Sage and Nervtag, these people, and these enormous great trusts, Jim, like the Wellcome Trust and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, then they don't pay any tax.
No, well, this is another thing I've realised, that when Gordon Brown first became Chancellor of the Exchequer, and he created all this double tax relief for research and development. You know, you spend money on research and development, you get double tax relief. All these major corporations, this is happening worldwide. So the ordinary taxpayer is funding all the research and development. Well, not funding it all, but they're getting double tax relief. So they're contributing for these major corporations to come out with, do research and development. They don't publish all the findings. They only publish the little bits that benefits them. So in reality, the taxpayer is subsidising the growth of these big corporations. They're the ones benefiting from it all.
There are many people, Jim, who will just call you an anti-vaxxer. You just don't want to have the vaccine because you're scared of needles.
No, I've had vaccines. I've had all the other vaccines through life, and my children have all had them, and I didn't have a problem with them. But this is not a traditional vaccine. This mRNA vaccine is gene therapy. Even the inventor of it has said it should not be used for what it's being used for. And they've shut him up. They've stopped him speaking. You know, they keep him quiet. Why is that? It was like the chap who invented the PCR test. That wasn't designed for what it's being used for now. So all this, the media is being controlled, and the money, all these big pharmaceutical, the Wellcome Trust, all these corporations, they've put so much money in advertising in the media, so the media have to talk to their tune, and they lose the money.
Well, that's interesting you bring the media up, because I'm part of this group called Holding the Line, Journalists Against COVID Censorship. How do you think overall, I mean, you know, I know you're a consumer of the media, you're also a farmer, and you make these buildings for farms. What do you make of what's been going on in your lifetime in the mass media in Britain?
Well, it's just the way all the small papers and everything's been bought out. You know, all, they've kept buying any small little regional papers or whatever. They've been formed together in different groups, and then eventually the groups have been all taken care of, you know, control. They're all subsidiaries of somebody else. So the public as general don't actually know who owns what. And you must know, I mean, there must be very few private media sources or private media businesses now that journalists or anybody can work for. And there's such a lot of journalists struggling to get stuff out. You know, and they're edited, you can't say this. The control, you know, our speech is being controlled. Well, you're not allowed to say that anymore, and free speech is being taken away from us.
Well, one of the things I'd say as a journalist is we don't own the printing presses, you know. We don't own the transmitters. And the ownership of those has been massively concentrated over the last 30 or 40 years into very few hands. So how do you think, is it possible for people to cut through this propaganda?
It's difficult to talk to, but it's going to come back to nearly people going door to door and leafleting bits in small areas to try and small things that can be done privately, I think, to try and get the message out. Because certainly nobody's going to get the message out, I don't think, through the national media anyway, not through the mainstreams of national media. Anything that people can do. Because, I mean, all this is being Facebook and all the social medias, they're all being controlled and taken down. You can't say this, what people can say. It's all being controlled. It's very limited. So you've got to speak the official narrative, or it doesn't work for you.
And what sort of Christmas will you be having?
Well, hopefully I'll be having a good dinner. Hopefully the family, you know, I've got two sons, three granddaughters now. So hopefully they will be coming round at some point, whether whatever time, I'm not sure. I don't like making plans too much because there's a lot could change between now and Christmas. Mm. They always say, was it a week's a long time in politics? And it's certainly a week's a long time to pass with the, what we're going through at the moment.
Yeah, and what about, I mean, without trying to make it too personal a question, I mean, well, I think we've seen quite a lot of families, even couples, having big disagreements and arguments over this.
Yeah, it's terrible the way it's split people's up and making views and creating arguments between people. And that you can't have the debate, you know. If there was somebody debating both sides on the media, as people could see both sides, they can make their own mind up. And like, I think, you know, if the vaccine was as good as it would say, the proof would be there, it would come out. All those people who'd have been vaccinated wouldn't be suffering. They wouldn't have a problem with the virus. They wouldn't be going down with it. And then we'd get on with life. And then if the vaccine worked, the virus would virtually disappear. There'd always be the odd cases, but it wouldn't be, you know, people that have got a good immune system can fight a lot of things off. They told us right at the beginning, early on, it was all being spread by asymptomatic people. So if asymptomatic people, you know, people have had the virus, never had symptoms, the body's obviously built antibodies to get over it, why do they need a vaccine? Why would anybody that had had the virus and got over it need to be vaccinated? Mm. And yet, that isn't an excuse for not getting vaccinated.
Well, look, Jim, you're in your 60s. Jim, you're in your 60s. You've been around the block a few times. You've also been deputy mayor up there in Ribble Valley. What message have you got for people who are still scratching their heads, wondering what to do about all this?
I'd certainly look into some of the side effects. The government's yellow card scheme that you've a job to find, you've a job to hear about, they can't even come up with an answer of how the data and how they're examining data from there, from all the people, you know, the adverse reactions that there's been to the vaccine. You know, the number of people, I think it's normally 1,800 that's died from this vaccine. I know with the VAERS one in America, which is this vaccine adverse reporting system, that they've recorded all the adverse events from vaccines for the last 30 years, and the deaths from the COVID vaccine are 3/4 of the total deaths over 30 years. So in 12 months, or less than 12 months, it has created 3 times as many deaths as all the other vaccines over 30 years.
Well, that's pretty dark and scary. Is there any light at the end of the tunnel?
There doesn't seem to be at the moment because they don't seem to be looking. They just seem to be keep driving a vaccine agenda. And I remember I saw a website a few years ago. I was looking for populations, you know, looking at the globe and population of countries, and I came across this website which was about defence spending. And it had populations for every country in the world and the amount of defence spending. And the 2014 figures predicted the population of this country would fall to about 15 million. It was below 20 million by the year 2025. And I thought, this is a joke, it can't be right. And the website said they created it from official government statistics from all the countries. It was updated in 2018, and it was still showing the same thing. I can't just remember the exact figures, but it was a mass reduction in population of this
country. Well, I mean, it sounds to me like you're saying we're all doomed and there's nothing we can do.
I would think a lot of us are doomed. And to be honest, I feel sorry at times. I look at the people that have taken all the vaccines and I feel sorry for them. I feel like I could cry for them because I think they are on a very, very downward spiral. I think that will destroy their own natural immune system.
Come on, Jim. You've got to leave us with a little candle of hope there somewhere. There must be some hope.
I don't know. I think we just stick on. You've got to try and enjoy life. Well, you can make the most of what you've got within reason and be careful. But, you know, when we get some sunshine, be prepared to get out in the sunshine and get some natural fresh air. Why would... I can understand, weather's bad now, so you don't want to be outside so much. But when the old virus started, traditionally, sunshine and fresh air have been the best thing for helping anybody, curing anybody, to get them better. And that, we locked everybody up, you to keep them inside, you were limited time to go outside. That wasn't trying to get the public better, that was like a control of it. I mean, the another one I've seen, these doctors that have cured every patient they had, not in this country, but abroad, using drugs that we're not supposed to talk about, like ivermectin and hydrochloroquine, vitamin C, vitamin D, and something else, cured every patient they had, never lost a patient, and they've been struck off because they were using things that the World Health Organization hadn't said that should be used for curing COVID.
Well, look, it wouldn't be the first time that some of these doctors have been doing their work outside the official system. But it certainly seems as if there is some hope. If it is possible to cure people without using vaccinations and very simple, cheap drugs that the pharmaceutical industry can't make any money out of. Sounds like, you know, it's interesting you've drawn those parallels with farming, you know, and the certain types of farming that the big farming companies don't like. And those are the things we need to do. And maybe that's what we need to do with COVID too. Find a way round these massive monopolies that are trying to take over. Anyway, former Deputy Mayor up at Ribble Valley Council, Jim Rogerson, thanks very much for joining us.
No problem. Thank you very much. And all the best to you all.